The state's largest business association has threatened to sue the Department of Natural Resources over a proposed rule to tighten regulations on surface water pollution. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce says the rule as is would exceed spending permitted under state law by more than $50 million. The DNR says the rule, which will be revised before the September deadline, will cost much less, just $2.5 million over 2 years. We're talking about potential changes to water pollution regulations in Wisconsin, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have thoughts on how Wisconsin laws work when it comes to water pollution? Do you want to see more regulation or less? Do you have concerns over how tighter regulations might affect your own business? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dave Strifling is the director of the Marquette Law School's Water Law and Policy Initiative. Dave, welcome back to Central Time.
Rob, great to be with you. Thanks for having me again.
Can you walk us through what these new limits, these new regulations from the DNR would look like?
So there are a number of programs under the Clean Water Act that DNR has to follow. This is one specific category called the Anti-Degradation Program. And what the policy does is just what the name implies. It applies to the waters that are doing well, the waters that are in good condition, meeting water quality standards. And it tries to prevent them from degradation, to protect them from worsening water quality caused by new or increased discharges. So this is an existing program that DNR is just updating. It's not a new program. But there are some new requirements here, and that's what WMC is objecting to.
Yeah, could you talk a little bit about those new requirements?
Sure. So, you know, there's disagreement here, obviously, about exactly what is happening. But DNR, from its perspective, is just updating the anti-degradation program to reflect federal requirements that were enacted in 2015. It's defining what it means by high quality waters. It can do that on a water body based standard or on a parameter based standard. So it could say, for example, this is a high quality water for phosphorus. This is a high quality water for chloride, so on and so forth. It would also allow a cumulative impacts analysis that would consider multiple discharges to the same body of water. And it's also adding specifics about how DNR determines when a new discharge or an increased discharge would significantly lower water quality. There's a percentage basis of the water's assimilative capacity that's at issue here. It's going from a 33% reduction, tightening that up to a 10% reduction in water quality. So those are all areas of dispute between the two sides.
Yeah, and the DNR says, okay, we think it has this much economic impact. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce comes up with a much higher number. What's going into those dueling readouts of the costs of this?
Yeah, so I'm not an economist, but here's how I read it. DNR's estimate says that this is going to have an impact of about $2 million over 2 years. So from DNR's perspective, that's not altogether significant. WMC's estimate is over $50 million. So WMC is estimating that DNR has vastly underestimated the cost of this revision to the anti-degradation program. And it comes down to WMC's claim that DNR has both underestimated the number of permittees and underestimated the cost per permittee that this program will affect. And there's a lot of specifics in WMC's comments that we probably don't have time to get into the weeds on, but you could look at things like the treatment that's required, the delay in projects, the impact of a second discharge, a new discharge by the same permittee. All of those are feeding into that $50+ million estimate. And it's really significant because if the cost of the regulation is over $10 million over a two-year period, the agency needs legislative authorization, in effect, a law passed by the legislature that would authorize it to issue the rule, and that has not happened. So if a court were to determine that the cost of this is over $10 million, the rule could not go into effect under current Wisconsin law.
Talking to Dave Strifling with Marquette Law School's Water Law and Policy Initiative, looking at DNR changes to pollution regulations for bodies of water in the state, possible legal lawsuit or legislative action on it. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions. That's 800-642-1234. Dave, this would apply to a variety of industries and economic groups. Some of the groups raising concerns are in agriculture, some of the larger scale dairy operations. What could this mean for them?
Well, there's some dispute about whether CAFOs, concentrated animal feeding operations, are covered under the rule. So if those are swept in, that would obviously have significant implications for them. There's also stormwater discharges that are covered under the rule, if not covered under a general permit that WDNR has issued. So that would have significant implications for the agricultural industry as well. One thing to realize here, though, is this is just a proposed rule. This is not a final rule yet. WDNR still has to go back and consider all the comments it has received before it even issues a final rule to the Natural Resources Board for approval. It says it's thinking about doing that in September. So we've still got some time to see how all this is going to play out.
There's a lot of legal nuance here, obviously, Dave. What ultimately is at stake? How big a difference are these distinctions among parties here going to make when it comes to the actual quality of these lakes and streams we're talking about?
Well, I think it could be significant, especially when we're talking about those higher quality waters, outstanding resource waters, exceptional resource waters, and really any waterway that's meeting water quality standards, that's meeting the designated uses that the state has laid out, whether that be fishable, swimmable, drinkable, you name it. All of those could come under fire here if this rule does not go into effect. And, you know, WMC's threat of litigation is one thing, but what also will come into play here is what Republican legislators think about the rule. And that's important because under some recent changes to Wisconsin law, there's a legislative committee called the Joint Committee on the Review of Administrative Rules that can essentially put the rule on indefinite hold. And so it's not just WMC that we have to be thinking about here. It's also the Wisconsin legislature that could impact the progress of this rule.
We're talking to Dave Strifling, director of Marquette Law School's Water Law and Policy Initiative, looking at new water pollution regulations proposed by the DNR that have been criticized by some in the business community. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think new water regulations should apply to the CAFOs, these larger livestock operations? Are you concerned about these proposed DNR rules? Have you been following this? Is this an important issue in your community, in your local lake or river? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Dave Strifling, director of Marquette Law School's Water Law and Policy Initiative, looking at water pollution in Wisconsin, some new rules proposed by the DNR that have been challenged by business groups. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your biggest concerns when it comes to clean water and water regulations here in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring on a caller. Brian is with us in Rice Lake. Brian, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What'd you want to bring up?
What are departees and what is the verdilla something that they
the
using?
Degradation, I think you're looking for, Brian. Can you talk, Dave, about what we mean degradation that's at the center of this DNR proposed policy?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're looking at those high quality waters that meet water quality standards. There are separate programs under the Clean Water Act to address the waters that aren't doing so well. This one has to do with trying to protect the waters that are meeting water quality standards. And so one of the big issues here is, what does it mean to have a significant lowering of water quality in those high quality waters? Should it be 10%? Should it be 33%? Courts have come down at a number of different places, and the EPA does not specify exactly where that bar should fall in terms of exactly what it means to be significant. So that's part of the issue here that DNR is trying to address in the rule.
Thanks for the call, Brian. Now, talking about courts and the Clean Water Act, well, the U.S. Supreme Court issued an important ruling that, in effect, rolls back some of the Clean Water Act, at least on certain kinds of water. Dave, what happened there?
Yeah, so this is an area concerning wetlands and the federal government's jurisdiction over wetlands. In other words, when do you need a federal permit to fill a wetland on your property for a development because you want to build a home or build a shopping mall or whatever the case may be? And the court sharply limited federal jurisdiction over wetlands as compared to a pretty longstanding interpretation of its precedent. And so what that does is throw the onus onto states to try to protect wetlands within their boundaries. And states are all across the board on what they've done on that score. And so ultimately, what I think the immediate position is that many less wetlands are protected under federal law. And we know now that wetlands aren't just swamps. They're not wastelands to be filled. They're actually really important ecologically for a number of reasons, from storm surge buffers to pollutant filtration to habitat for wildlife to interchange between groundwater and surface water. Lots of important ecosystem services that they fulfill. So this is an important decision.
The argument, I think, was that, okay, if you have smaller wetlands, maybe ephemeral is the word sometimes used. They come and go over time. They're not directly connected to streams and rivers and things like that. Then the Clean Water Act just didn't apply to them. It shouldn't, the argument was, I think, have applied to them in the first place. How big a part of the story is that?
Yeah, that's a big part of the story. And I think what we've got happening here is a little bit of a disconnect between the law and the science. The scientists would say, and I think, again, I'm not a scientist, but my understanding is that almost all water is connected, whether it's groundwater or surface water. It's all part of the same water cycle, especially if it's nearby. What the Supreme Court said in the decision is to be jurisdictional under federal law, we need a surface connection, not just a groundwater connection between a wetland and a traditional water of the United States, like a river or a stream or a lake. If we don't have that, if you can't go out into your backyard and see a continuous surface connection between the wetland and the traditional water, we're going to say there's no federal jurisdiction, because we just think that your average person doesn't have the ability or maybe the financial means to test whether there's a groundwater connection, which had been part of the previous test.
Oh, briefly, what does this mean for Wisconsin? What is our level of wetland protection compared to what just changed under federal law?
Wisconsin has done more than most states. You do need a permit generally for discharge into wetlands in Wisconsin. However, in 2017, the legislature acted to exempt some wetlands from that rule. And they're the smaller ones, 3 acres or less in size in rural areas, 1 acre or less in size in urban areas. Those that category of wetlands now is more likely to be completely unregulated under the Clean Water Act.
Let's bring on another caller now. Todd is with us in De Pere. Todd, hi.
Hi. Just a comment on CAFOs and residential non-point pollution. I fish Lake Winnebago, and every year in the summer, I can see that lake. It's terrible. It's disgusting. The algae blooms, and it's not just the CAFOs. I'm sure it's lawn fertilizers, non-point pollution, but the CAFOs, I live in a rural area. I see them dumping semi-loads after semi-loads of raw sewage next to runoff creeks and areas. It's just getting to Lake Winnebago. They have to be held accountable.
Todd, thanks for the call. Dave, what is the state of the art of regulating that kind of manure disposal and non-point pollution that finds its way into, say, Lake Winnebago?
Yeah, non-point source pollution is really tough. Not typically regulated under the Clean Water Act. Wisconsin has done something to regulate it via its stormwater regulations. But I think what the caller is really talking about is an enforcement question. You know, if it's being done in violation of a permit that a CAFO has, that's not a really a legal question. That's an enforcement question for DNR.
Thanks for the call, Todd. And Dave, yeah, as I understand it, if I open a CAFO and get a permit for it, I have to have some kind of manure management plan, right?
Correct. That is correct.
Again, Todd, thanks for the call. Dave, as you mentioned, the DNR rule we started off talking about here, it is a proposal. It's got a while to go. What kind of things are you watching for that could potentially change over the next couple few months?
Well, the big thing is going to be what DNR does with that cost estimate, because it already received some of WMC's comments on its preliminary fiscal estimate, and it bumped the cost up a little bit, less than $1 million, though. So it's still well beneath that $10 million threshold. And that's going to be, I think, the key point of dispute between the parties, because WMC is obviously reading the rule to include many more requirements than perhaps WDNR is, and is estimating the cost differently as a result. So, you know, it's going to be a question of where that final cost ends up. And then, of course, what the Wisconsin legislature does, if it allows this rule to proceed or if it hangs it up in the Joint Committee on the Review of Administrative Rules. Both of those are items to watch, I think.
Dave, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks. My pleasure.
That's Dave Strifling, director of Marquette Law School's Water, Law, and Policy Initiative. He talked to us about proposed pollution regulations here in the state and a potential legal challenge down the road. Plus, we took a quick look at that U.S. Supreme Court ruling putting some limits on the Clean Water Act when it comes to wetlands around the country.